today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
In the prayer, it is, forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, I repent, as I forgive those who hurt me. I want you to think about that. And when we as a believer have the cross in our hearts, a vertical and a horizontal, we'll start seeing the gold of repentance as a gateway into a new season.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Restored. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 15.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, a familiar passage, verse 12 through 15, New King James Version of the Bible. It is on the screen. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayers. Very important to pray. And I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. God honors prayer. When I shut up heavens, the devil didn't do it, I did it. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, devil don't command the rain. God says when it doesn't rain, I shut it up. When I shut up the heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts, pestilence, to devour the land, God send them, or send pestilence among my people, I can disturb your status quo if I'm trying to get your attention. Verse 14, if my people, that when you're going through issues, trials and troubles, would call, that are called by my name, when money is funny, I did it. When my people, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Look at verse 15. I love it. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Can the church say amen? Amen. You're supposed to say amen when I finish preaching, reading. Okay. It's a pretty powerful passage, right? Glory to God. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive sin and heal the land. I'm doing a message, a series called Cultivating Heart Light. The heart is dark and needs light, and we have to cultivate the culture of our heart. The atmosphere of our heart is important. There is no light there without God. Today's message is entitled Restore. Last week I preached a message entitled Open the Way. It's about a prayer of repentance. That's what we will be focusing on. And when you repent or pray the prayer of repentance, you can expect the way to be opened. The sequel to that is restored. God restores after he opens the way when we repent. And I'll do part one and two this morning and at 11 o'clock. So stick with your bishop as we move through the word. I wanted to make sure you understand we have an open portal, and I'm trying to stick with what I believe the Spirit is speaking to me about. The nation just celebrated 250 years of existence. And I'm telling you the reason why we're here is not because we're just great. There are people in this nation that are praying for the nation. The Lord let me know we would not be a nation. When Abraham Lincoln was trying to keep the Union connected, he would not have won if it wasn't for the church. There was somebody praying that slavery would end, that injustice would cease, that the nation would come together. We are going to pick up the candlelight, the amber light, hopefully will turn into a forest fire of prayer in our generation to make sure the portal stays open. We must maintain an open portal, and we need to unveil different kinds of prayers. This is the third one, a prayer of repentance. Restored. Father, I give you praise and thanks for today. Thank you for 250 years as a nation. Thank you for the Declaration of Independence. Thank you for the Constitution of the United States. Thank you for a brand new government, a system called democracy. Father, we have potential, but we also have problems in the nation. We have problems with our liberty. We're so liberal and so free. We have walked away from you. As a nation, we repent. And in this generation, we will stand in the gap and make sure that we are speaking and praying to you about forgiving us. Your word declares in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, my church, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you would heal, forgive, turn things around. Thank you so much for that. Anoint me afresh as I teach, and I pray that there will be no one sleeping while I teach, that we will be attentive, no one texting while I sleep, while I preach, no one sending messages while I'm preaching, that we would take notes and be attentive, because we all need a prayer of repentance. Think through me, speak through me. And give us ears to hear, mind to comprehend, hearts to receive, and a spirit to contain your word, and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Amen. Amen. Confession of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. For those of those members who are getting ready to vacate, or those who are on vacation, this is the 4th of July weekend, and we understand many of our people are out of town. I want you to be safe. I want you to pray before you get on the road. The enemy doesn't like God's people. And 1,000 things had to go right for us to be here today. Don't take it for granted. I'm the one that get the news of car accidents, mangled folk. One mistake. You could be driving peacefully, but it's the drunk driver going in the opposite direction on the other side of the road. People who have demented minds are not paying attention. People who got a divorce, they want to kill everyone, running into trains. All kinds of things are happening. Mental illness is taking over. And people who are stuck on THC, it's changing perspectives, making people drive laid back like they're in their living room, driving their car laid way back like this here, head just barely over the, driving 80 miles an hour in a 40, all relaxed. Now, the older I get, I have to drive as a defensive driver, not as an offensive driver, because I'm always looking for the one who ain't acting right. And so you need to be more defensive. The older you get and the more expensive your vehicles are, I'm telling you, you get out of that mode of I got to get there first and road rage, because let the ones with the jalopies do that. A young man told me, his name is Jair Johnson, who just graduated with his doctorate degree. His mother, Danielle, has been a member of our church for many years, and he went out to Seattle and went to school after his father died. Amen. In a men's conference, I threw a ball to him and I said, stay in the game. After that, his father died and the boy went to school and now he's a man. He's about to turn 30 years old and got his bona fide doctorate in sociology. And I was eating with him in Carrabba's this week and he was letting me know some things. He was speaking on another level. I said, man, I want you to come back to the church as an alumni and speak to our young people, even young adults. Because we need to see success. We hear a lot of issues. You know what he attributed his success to? Prayer. He said, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for prayer. With the stuff that happened in my life, I'm not supposed to be here. But I know it's by prayer and the word and my faith in Jesus. I said, listen at you, man. Listen at you. He's at that level academically and still humbles himself and prays and seek the face of God. I say our people need to see that. And I want to say to all of our young people who came through the ministry that may not be going to church today, laid up, laid back, with your mind on your money and your money on your mind, get yourself together. Get back up in here and encourage our youth and how they can make it if they stick with God's plan. Even if you failed at it, it doesn't mean you're a failure. Because if my people, which are called by my name, would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal the land. I love that passage of scripture out of 2 Chronicles. Glory to God. When we repent, there is a deep hope, a deeper hope or expectation that springs up inside of us. And I need hope to spring up. This is how hope is released from the dungeons of your heart, is when you repent. Well, Bishop, I don't seem to have any expectations. Start repenting and hope comes alive. Hope is being stored or covered, and it is repentance that causes expectation to rise. Even your faith will go to another level when you ask God for forgiveness. Now, we all ask him for forgiveness to get saved. But in Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching his disciples, we call it the Lord's Prayer. I would call it the disciples' prayer because he's teaching the disciples how to pray. He said, when you pray, you should say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us this day. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. This is after salvation. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'm coming back to that. And lead us not into temptation or to testing, but deliver us from evil. Flip evil around. It's the word live. If you live your life, your best life without God, it becomes evil. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And you want to see a vertical relationship? Forgive us of our trespasses is to God. As we forgive those that trespass against us, that's lateral. That's brothers and sisters. So we're supposed to look up to God. And then we're supposed to look over our left shoulder, our left, and we look to our right. Who do I have conflict with? Who do I need to correct stuff with? And we need to have enough courage to get that right too. This is a daily prayer for everybody. And if you look to your left and say, I ain't doing it, I'm telling you, you're not pleasing God. If you look to your right, say, well, I got it right with God, but I don't care about you. You're not following his plan. In the prayer, it is, forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, I repent, as I forgive those who hurt me. I want you to think about that. And when we as a believer have the cross in our hearts, a vertical and a horizontal, we'll start seeing the gold of repentance as a gateway into a new season. Yes. that God wants to take us in. And I believe you will see hope come from the dungeons of your heart and surface, and your expectation and faith will not be denied. Because surely there is an end to all trials. Just like a trial starts, God has an ending date for it. But your expectation will not be denied. And your expectation comes alive when you begin to ask God to forgive you of your sin. Forgive us of our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who trespassed against us. His arm is always stretched out to save. It is always open, ready to embrace us again after we fail. In repentance, I really believe that we discover something powerful about God's mercy. Come on, it's new every morning. I want you to get this, because some people back away from God when they fail. But you, the first thing you should do is rush to the hospital of his mercy. I mean, you need to get in the ambulance of his grace and rush to the hospital of his mercy. We need to make sure that we exercise the fresh grace and mercy that he renews every morning. His arms are always open, ready to embrace us again after we repent. And in repentance, we rediscover his mercy. I like that. Come on, we rediscover that God is merciful. We rediscover his guidance, his mercy and his guidance. We rediscover his peace, his mercy, his guidance, and his peace. We rediscover that he's a God that doesn't give us what we deserve. That's mercy. He's a God of guidance. He leads and guides me in the way. Even his word becomes a lamp under my feet, more brighter to my path. And he also is a God of peace or tranquility that keeps me still when I'm going through storms. Hallelujah. If you ever fail during times of trouble, you will lose an edge in your leadership. When there's a storm, the leader needs to rise. And when you repent, your God's mercy, his guidance and peace rises in your heart to new levels. The peace of being close to God. There is no peace without the Holy Spirit. No amount of success should give us long-term peace. Nobody's success can be squeezed through the portal of death. No matter what you're accumulating in life, it cannot pass through the portal of death. This body is going back to the dust. Your money is going to be spent by somebody else. So you must make sure you're storing a treasure in heaven. I preached it before. About 3 weeks after you die, people forget about you. They look at the money. And if you love someone, they with somebody in about 4 weeks. They're already sending out messages, joining relationship groups and trying to connect with people and putting pictures out there. I can tell when somebody's heart is broken or when they're trying to renew themselves, they start advertising on Facebook, taking pictures. I can already tell. I see it all the time. Oh, my God. You know, the greatest picture ever taken, the most frequent picture that ever taken around the world is a selfie. It's not a mountain. It's not a flower. It's not a nice home. It's not a nice car. It's a selfie. It's really to show us just how selfish and self-centered we are. And if you got love, I'm telling you, after you leave here, the person you love the most, they're not really sound. They'll be in somebody's arms within a month. Some the same night. So you better fall in love with Jesus, with your bad self, and make sure your head is in the right place. Because all that stuff you talking about don't mean nothing. You need to get it straight with God. This is for a message around the world. I'm looking at statistics. What I'm telling you is not something that I just came up with. Glory to God. Your kids take your money and they use your house and party. Listen to what I say. They take your money and they use your house and bring their friends over. And they party with your money. So you need to make sure you're laying up a treasure in heaven and command your children in the way. When we repent, we discover his mercy, his guidance, and his peace of being close in close fellowship with the Lord. And I don't know if we really understand that. Just to be close to the Lord in fellowship should be important to every believer. This is why I love Abraham. I mean, he didn't write any books of the Bible. Moses wrote the Torah. But the Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Genesis 15. He says, you are my shield and my exceeding great reward. You can check it out, but it's in the 14th, 15th, or 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. He said, you are my shield. See, I don't know if we got that revelation. It's not what you gave me. It's not the many cattle and the portfolio and what I have in the bank and the resources. You are my shield, God. My exceeding and great reward. And when you get to that point where God is your shield, you start understanding David more. The reason why God loved him so much, because he didn't look at the gold and the palaces that he had or how many Philistines he killed. You are my shepherd and I shall not want. This is coming from a monarch. This is coming from a king that had a lot of authority. He could give life and he could take life. And we can learn a lot from a person with that kind of power that gives his heart to the Lord. I believe repentance is a journey from brokenness back into wholeness, from brokenness back into wholeness. The broken is mended back to health. I believe a prayer of repentance leads us somewhere. If you're writing notes or taking notes, write it down. It leads us to restoration in his presence. Repentance leads us to restoration in his presence. When we acknowledge our sins, when we acknowledge our sins and seek cleansing, when we seek restoration, the prize is to be restored back into the presence of the Lord, which is very important for us. Just to be close to you. Hallelujah. Man, I wish I was a Fred Hammond. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you is my desire. Come on, man. I love Fred Hammond when he worshiped, man. You ever have that prayer, I want to be close to you? You ever got in your room and said, Lord, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I just want to be close to you. I want to feel your presence in my life. I want the cloud to hover over me again. Glory to God. I want to know that you're with me. Can you touch me? Can you anoint me right now? Can you allow me to sense your presence, which will give me confidence to face any storm? Glory, hallelujah. Acknowledging our sins and seeking cleansing and restoration is where we need to be. And I believe repentance prepares us. It prepares our heart for restoration. It prepares your heart for restoration. It even revives your heart. This is all a part of being restored. It cultivates our hearts. I'm preaching heart light. I don't know if we ever understand it, but I believe the Spirit is telling me to tell you that your heart needs oxygen. In the natural, it must have blood flow. As soon as blood stops flowing to the heart, death is almost immediate. Why not our heart spiritually? When is the last time you breathe? When is the last time you took a deep breath that only comes through connecting with God? An inhale, and an exhale. When did oxygen get to your soul? Not to your body. I'm talking about that part of you that none of us can see. See, you are a spirit being. You possess a soul and you live in flesh. F- flesh is what everybody can see, but the real you is your soul and the spirit that God gave you. That's why some people can come in a room and you can feel their spirit, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. If they have a good nature, hallelujah, it'll put peace in the room. But if they don't have a good nature, fear will hit the room just by them standing in there. Some people can walk in a room and change the atmosphere. I ask God for that kind of power, that kind of influence to change an atmosphere without speaking. I want to be an atmosphere controller. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care how much chaos is in there. I want the Holy Ghost to manifest in my life as a peacemaker in the name of Jesus. I want to bring peace to chaos. I want to bring solutions to problems. I want to bring health to the sick. Can somebody say amen? And riches to the poor. Even by the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever think like that deeper? Versus I just want to get a jersey and have enough money to blow it with no budgets and living from paycheck to paycheck? Or do you want to lay a track, hallelujah, and be an authority and then have oversight to make sure whatever's on the track gets to its destination? God wants us to think deeper and bigger. And when we repent, he opens up expectancy. Glory to God. And we can cultivate a heart light, a heart life that protects the heart.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Restored, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, will take place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children ages 2 through 6th grade. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Register and purchase your T-shirt on the website, the TR mobile app, or scan the QR code in the foyer.